What's poppin', man? It's Audio Al, and you're listening to Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix, right here on YouTube, Spotify, or any of your favorite streaming apps.
Thank you, Audio Al. It is Saturday, October 14th, 2023, 8 a.m. sharp. It is a, I don't know if it's raining outside right now, actually. I can't see outside the window, but yesterday she was pouring. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 156th edition of the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix podcast. I am one of your lovely hostesses, the Garlic Johnson. We are joined, as always, by our other lovely hostess, the Joshua Mitchell. Josh, go ahead and say hi to the folks out there.
Hi, folks. How are you?
Are you asking the folks how they're doing?
Yep.
All right. Well, they'll let you know in the Discord, because that's where we appreciate where all our friends, all our fans interact. So let us know how you're doing, fans, in the Discord. Segment start times down in the description below. Thank you at Levi Oki for all the beautiful art that people can see. And Josh, right back right at you. How are you doing this morning, bud?
Swell. How are you, Gar?
Good. Are you all prepared up for that? Choo-choo-two or two-two-choo or whatever the fuck you got
chugga,
going on today?
Chugga-chugga-choo-choo?
There we go. I'm not... See, Josh, I'm not a parent. I wouldn't get it, okay?
Yeah. We're getting there. We've got the basement all decorated, ready to go. It sounds like mainly family, but I don't know. I don't know if you're still coming or not. I don't know. I don't even know if you RSVP'd because I don't go on Facebook, but...
I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah, I plan on being there.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be mainly family and a couple friends, but it seems that we always pick weekends where people are busy, so that's fun. But yeah, it's now is probably a good time to let everybody know that it's actually Kaya's birthday, so joke's on you. It's a party for Kaya. How are you, Gar?
You know what? I'm doing all right, I'd say. I'd even go so far as to say swell. You know, Josh, just the way she goes sometimes. I will say it was inconvenient. So I don't know. I'm normally just a, especially in the spring through the fall. So I'd say 3/4 of the year, I'm just a sheet sleeper. You know, I don't need no comforter. Obviously, I'm a big man. I run hot. Just need the one sheet over top of me. But it's starting to get a little colder outside. So, you know, starting introducing the comforter a little bit more into my bedroom routine, if you know what I mean. And last night I woke up probably around 2 a.m., 3 a.m. And I must have gotten into the perfect cocoon with my comforter because... me and my sheets were drenched in sweat, and it was uncomfortable. And, you know, luckily I have a king bed, so I can just kind of roll from one spot to another. But it was just like, ugh, there was a big old puddle. I had just changed my sheets, so I had to rip all my sheets off this morning, throw them in the washer. It's like, Jesus Christ. Luckily, it wasn't me wetting the bed again. I had to check the sheet, or I had to, you know, check myself out to make sure it didn't come from me at first. But it was brutal. Well, you know what I mean, Josh. Didn't come from a very specific region or hole, if you will.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I run warm, and so I have that issue year round where I sweat through everything. When we change the sheets on our mattress, and we have sheet protectors, but you could still see Josh sleeps on this side because of all the sweat.
Nice little yellow stain right there.
Yeah, and so it's always like gross. That's good. I hope you slept better than I did, because I don't know why, but for whatever reason, couldn't get sleepy. So I just kind of sat there in bed, and 2 o'clock rolls around, and I think I finally got some shut eye, and then 6:30 rolls around, and I wake up. So it's going to be a bit of a day.
Yeah, I definitely stayed up later than I needed to, and we're just going to do a whole, you know, life update for this whole podcast, so screw the people who are listening for football stuff, but I stayed up later than I needed to. I was kind of laying in bed, scrolling the phone, the exact thing you're not supposed to do, and then I heard, like, this knocking sound, and it kept persisting, and so I got up. I thought someone was knocking on the phone, and then I forgot they're doing, like, a bunch of construction.
Knocking on the phone?
Or knocking on the door, yeah, knocking on the phone. I forgot they were doing a bunch of construction, I guess, on southbound Highway 65. Over the weekend, and so I just got to listen to a lovely knocking sound that lulled me to sleep all night. So that's cool. They're like, I don't know if they're ripping up the shoulder or exactly what they're doing, but it sounded like they were definitely ripping something up starting last night. And so anyone who's trying to go southbound on 65 this weekend, think again, at least up here by Blaine. Anywho, Josh, you don't have to worry about that. You're up in lovely Big Lake, but Bob may have to worry about that on his way later today. Anywho, should we get into the start sit? Are we ready?
Yeah.
All right, Josh, how did we do last week?
We did. Bad.
That good, huh?
You got 3 out of 5. I got 2 out of 5. So
suck
the trend
it.
Of being bad is continuing for me and you. We both finished with negatives. Yours was a -4.2. Mine was a -5.2. So obviously the one different one that you had gotten, you only got one whole total point against me. So not that big of a swing. Overall, you are sitting at 50%, 10 out of 20 with -5.3 differential. And I am 8 out of 20 with a -7.6 differential. So we're killing it.
Thank God you didn't count my bonus one because, you know, we talked about Aaron Jones versus Travis Etienne. Boy, did we fuck that one up.
Yep. We did. it doesn't help that Aaron Jones didn't play. So, but I'm sure if he did play, he would have put up at least 60. So you could always count that as a moral victory.
Absolutely.
Going into this week's picks, since we spent more time on the updates, we're going to start with the quarterbacks, per usual. This week, we've got Derek Carr at Houston versus Gardner Minshew at his former team, Jacksonville. Who are you going with?
Just to be a little bit quicker today, I won't go for the full tale of the tape like I usually do, give a rundown of all their games. I will say Derek Carr has only surpassed 15 points at normal fantasy scoring one time this year. It was last week at New England, so there's a little bit of promise there. It was the first week he also threw 2 touchdowns, so that's a factor as well. Gardner Minshew, of course, is not the starter, or has not traditionally been the starter, but this will be his first full start. It's also difficult because you think if there's any organization that knows Gardner Minshew, it's going to be Jacksonville, as that's the team he came from, right? It's not always the same it's not always the same staff, but there's certainly some overlap there. If I have to pick between the two, I mean, Derek Carr as a 5-week starter, he is quarterback number 32. Gardner Minshew as a 2.5-week starter, he is quarterback number 33. I think Gardner Minshew has a higher ceiling. I will go with Gardner Minshew against his former team, Jacksonville.
Well, Gar, we're going to start off with the same picks this week because you could have probably guessed that you put Gardner Minshew up against anybody. I'm leaning Gardner Minshew.
I would have been disappointed if you didn't pick Minshew, Josh.
So we won't spend too much time discussing that.
If Brady's the goat and Bortles is the boat, what is Minshew?
The goat boat.
Gotcha. All right, Josh, we'll move on to our next running back pick here. These guys came into the season maybe thinking they were going to have a bigger role, but they have been relegated to the backup role. Or not necessarily, you know, they probably came into the league the season as backups anyways. They thought they would have a bigger role. Now they're realizing the role is much smaller than they wanted to. We're talking about first Philadelphia Eagles running back Kenneth Gainwell, who has certainly been supplanted by Swift. And then he would have not been the starter, but he certainly expected to do more so far this year. We're talking about running back for the New England Patriots, Zeke Elliott, playing at Las Vegas. Josh, if you had to pick between Kenny Gainwell and Zeke Elliott, who are you picking and why?
Kenneth Gainwell. I feel like Zeke has the better matchup, but that offense is trash. I'm going to go with Kenneth Gainwell. He has a little bit more opportunity in the pass game. They did say that Swift's usage is higher than they thought it would be at this point, and so they may cut back on him, unfortunately, because he is having a pretty solid season. So I'm going to go Ken Gainwell.
All right, Josh. All right, I had to do something real quick. Kenny Gainwell in week one, like we said, he kind of was the starter, 62% snap share, 9.4 points, but then I think he got banged up. He missed week two, and he hasn't gotten past 5.5 points since. Whereas Zeke, his snap share has been rising. Started the year at 35%. He's up to 46% last week. He hasn't gotten the M zone all year. Bill Belichick talked about restarting, starting over, doing things different. For some reason, I feel like Zeke is going to be a part of that. I'm going to take Zeke this week, Josh. I'd much rather have Zeke over Kenny Gainwell. Just because, you know, Billy B is going to be trying something different. I could see Zeke getting some more snap share here.
He probably saw Zeke playing center last year and figured,
ladies,
well, Center sneak.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the wide receivers, we've got a couple players that are likely rostered, and probably not, probably in your starting lineup, but if you had to pick one, Marquise Brown at the Los Angeles Rams or Terry McLaurin at Atlanta. Gar, sway me.
Well, Hollywood Brown has been very, very consistent this year. Of course, he's the best receiver in Arizona by far. He was probably faded by most people just based on their QB situation, but he's actually been performing pretty well with Josh Dobbs, and I can't remember if anyone else is taking QB snaps, but Marquise Brown has been performing well. Shout out to Hollywood. He's the last 4 weeks, he's gotten about 13 to 14 points each week, so very consistent. Looking at Terry McLaurin, he's had a higher week than any of Marquise Brown's weeks. He's had up to almost 19 points. That was 2 weeks ago at Philadelphia, of all weeks. But he is wide receiver number 32. He's much more inconsistent. He hasn't been having a great year. Most people who have drafted Terry McLaurin or Jahan Dotson, any of those Commanders receivers, have probably been disappointed so far this year. I'd be taking Marquise Brown. It looks like he has a very safe floor. It looks like he's going to get you double-digit points. He's wide receiver 14. I just traded for him in a Dynasty League. There's no reason for me to not start Hollywood Brown. They're playing the Rams. The Rams' defense isn't necessarily, at least the secondary, isn't necessarily what it once was, whereas Atlanta's been playing a little bit better this year for defenses as far as I know, so I'll take Hollywood Brown for every reason above. Even though he is questionable. Gotta watch that.
Well, I do think that you've made some valid points, but I will go with Scary Terry because of his nickname. Scary Terry is a better nickname than Hollywood Brown. Hollywood's overused. And so I'm going to go Terry just for that upside. I feel like he does have a little bit more upside big play capability. James Conner's not playing, so they may just let the running backs get a feel for the game by, you know, playing a little bit more zone and not stacking the box as much. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Scary Terry.
All right, well, I appreciate the dissension, Josh. There we go. Moving on, Josh, to the tight end position. We have, staying in Arizona, we have Zach Ertz, who was traded, was it last year? Last year or 2 years ago? From the Philadelphia Eagles. Zach Ertz, tight end for the Arizona Cardinals, playing at Los Angeles Rams. Or we have a guy who I've always had a soft spot in my heart, and for some reason, we're talking Logan Thomas, the tight end for the Washington Commanders, playing at Atlanta. So we're looking at two players from the same team. You know, the passing production for the tight ends, a little different than in the receivers. Josh, are you more of a Zach Ertz Cardinal guy, or are you more of a Logan Thomas Commander guy?
Well, I'm apparently doubling down on the Washingtons. So I went with McLaurin last with our last pick. This time I'm going with Logan Thomas at Atlanta. I do feel like a similar situation. I just realized that wide receivers and tight ends are both same team. So interesting. Thank you, Narfle.
Just works out that way. Sometimes no big deal.
Yeah, so I'm going Logan Thomas in this situation simply because, he had a solid week last week, and I don't know how Zach Ertz has been doing.
I can let you know that Zach Ertz, he came into the season a little bit questionable. He has started all five games, but, you know, he tear his ACL last year? Yeah, he was coming into the season with some sort of injury from last year. I don't remember exactly what it was. But he's had, you know, his worst week was week three. He only had a 60% snap share, only had 2 receptions for 6 yards. I mean, nothing impressive. Otherwise, he's put up 5 to 8 points every week. Usually 8. 3 out of the 5 weeks, he's put up 8 points. So he's doing okay, but as you alluded to, Logan Thomas, even though he's missed a game, he's put up 9 points and 16 points just last week. He had 9 receptions for 77 yards and a touchdown. He was kind of a sneaky tight end for me. Like, I, you know, if I didn't get Kelsey, which I targeted Kelsey in a couple leagues this year, if I didn't get Kelsey, and then if I didn't get my man Laporta, like I went for in a couple leagues, Logan Thomas was my sneaky tight end. Just because Eric Bieniemy was coming over from Kansas City. Of course, Logan Thomas is no Travis Kelsey, but maybe he could have been a poor man's Travis Kelsey, and Eric Bieniemy was used to getting the ball to the tight end a lot, so I was like, someone in Washington has to succeed. So I talked about Cole Turner, his backup. He looked good in preseason, but Logan Thomas now appears to be healthy enough. This is all a long-winded way to say Logan Thomas, sneaky pick, but I like to see that he's finally breaking out, so I'm riding with you in Logan Thomas. Moving on to the flex position, Josh, we have a couple of players that two household names and one name that may break out this year or may fall into obscurity because their team is garbage. That player being Jerome Ford, running back for the Cleveland Browns. They're playing versus San Francisco. That is a tough, tough matchup regardless. But Deshaun Watson is also out, so shout out to XFL star PJ Walker will be starting that game for the Browns. So very uphill battle for Jerome Ford versus San Francisco. We have Gabe Davis versus the New England Giants. He's a Buffalo
Bill. New England Giants?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. The New England's right beneath them. I have fucking dyslexia, I swear to God. Starting that over, our second option is Gabe Davis, Buffalo Bill, versus the New York Giants. Or the third option is Jacoby Myers, wide receiver for the Las Vegas Raiders, playing versus New England. The dyslexia got the better of me, Josh. But if you had to, would you take the potential starting running back, Jerome Ford versus San Fran, Gabe Davis, or Jacoby Myers?
Well, I do like Jerome Ford, but that San Fran defense is pretty scary. Plus, with backup quarterback in, because Deshaun Watson has an ouchie, I'm going to go with Gabe Davis. Jacoby Myers had a solid week last week, but Davante Adams made comments that seemed eerily similar to what A.J. Brown made before the week before A.J. Brown went off. And so I have a feeling that they're going to feed Devontae, at least I'm hoping so, for the sake of fantasy. I'm going to go with Gabe Davis. So, yeah.
All right, I'll keep it short and simple, Josh. Gabe Davis, I mean, I think we're both eliminating Jerome Ford. He has had a couple good weeks. Week 2 and week 3 were good for him. Week 4 versus Baltimore, he did have his highest snap share at 62%, but he only got 7 points. They've had the bye week. Kareem Hunt should be getting more involved, so who knows? And they're playing the best defense in the league. So we're both out on Jerome Ford, I think, immediately. Gabe Davis had his best week last week with 6 receptions for 100 yards and a TD, but I'm going Jacoby Myers. See, Gabe Davis has come in below double digits twice this year, whereas Jacoby Myers has only done it once. He did miss a week, so it's a little bit skewed, but Jacoby Myers has been having a good season. He's up to 95% snap share. The guy doesn't leave the field. He's had 10 targets, 12 targets, and 10 targets, whereas Gabe Davis has never had more than 8 targets in a week. I'm going with Jacoby Myers based on volume. Jimmy Garoppolo really seems to love him, so we'll have one more disagreement here, Josh. I will take Jacoby Myers versus New England.
Oh, boy.
I do have one more for you here, Josh. I don't have who they're playing, and I guess I do have time to pull it up. But, Josh, another conundrum for me in one of my leagues this week is Zach Moss, running back for the Indianapolis Colts. He has been lighting it up in lieu of Jonathan Taylor, and it sounds like Jonathan Taylor is going to be ramped up a little bit this week. Last week, I think he only had like 10 snaps or something, but he's not going to be a full go. So Zach Moss for the Indianapolis Colts, or Alexander Mattison for the Minnesota Vikings. It's kind of got a little bit of a running back conundrum, and I'm curious what you think about that one. I can get up their opponents here in just a second. Zach Moss is playing at Jacksonville with Minshew. Should have just looked up there. And then Alexander Mattison, of course, is playing at Chicago.
Neither of them give me the jollies in my tummy, so I don't know who I'd lean. I do feel like the Bears defense is bad, but then Jacksonville has been struggling as well. Zach Moss has had really solid production. You know, this is a toughie. I think that, you know, it's kind of a coin flip. Minnesota just lost Jefferson for a few weeks here, and so they may lean on the run game a little bit more to get, because they're not going to throw the ball 20 times to somebody like they did with Jefferson in the lineup. And then with Zach Moss having Minshew is, you know, a solid quarterback. He's smart with the ball, so may have more opportunity for checkdowns. Yeah, it's a toughie, Gar. But just gun to my head, I'm going to go Zach Moss.
Yeah, that's who I have in the starting role right now. Zach Moss put up fucking 32.5 last week in half-point PPR. 165 yards, 2 TDs. Of course, he won't have that similar production, but if he even gets 100 yards and a TD, I mean, that's a great week. Alexander Mattison has only gotten He hasn't gotten 100 yards on the year. He hasn't gotten a single touchdown yet this year. Well, that's not true. He hasn't got a single rushing touchdown, excuse me. He has two touchdowns on the year. They're both receiving. But Zach Moss is the guy I picked. I will also note for the fans listening at home, last week I was picking between Aaron Jones and Travis Etienne, and Travis Etienne got like 30-some points on my bench, and Aaron Jones didn't even play, and I fanned that out Monday night. So maybe do the exact opposite of what I said. But appreciate your input there, Josh. We will see how wrong we are next Saturday. We'll move on here, Josh, to our DFS bust of the week. It looks like you took a page out of my book this week by not having one. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that you're scrambling for a birthday party this morning. So you have passed, unless you have looked into it mid-show. I have A.J. Brown, wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, busting this week. Not because he's not talented, not because he's not handsome, but A.J. Brown is playing at the New York Jets. He's going to be covered by Sauce Gardner most of the day. Sauce Gardner is an elite corner already in his, I think it's just his second year, right? Second or third year, I forget.
Second.
But for 8,200, A.J. Brown is not going to be worth that value. Even if A.J. Brown gets, 100 yards, that's only, 10 points, depending on how many receptions it's on. So I think A.J. Brown will bust this week and not be worth the dollar bills, y'all, in FanDuel. And people should listen to me on that because I was the best scorer in FanDuel last week. So let the record show I know what I'm talking about. Josh, do you have anyone or should we just keep rolling?
I don't. I mean, I had thought A.J. Brown as well. I did look into it this morning and then I'd seen that you typed him there. So that's why I passed.
I stole it from you, sucker. We'll move on then to just a quick weekly preview, Josh. We actually have a couple minutes to discuss, so we can always leave a couple minutes early as well. You got stuff going on this morning, and I actually got to get this podcast stuff done and then get up there in time, because I think what's the start time, 9:30?
Yeah.
So I got to get, I'll probably be a couple minutes late realistically, but anyways, we do have a couple minutes here is the point I'm trying to make. So looking at the weekly preview, Josh, we have yet another Sunday morning game. So people who want wall-to-wall football all day Sunday, you can start at 8:30 a.m. Central Time like we will be with the Baltimore Ravens and the Tennessee Titans. Josh, is that a game you go out of your way for? I know you're a church man, but do you turn it on before church or do you just not worry about that one at all?
Oh, we'd probably be at church when the game starts, I think, because it starts at 8:30. So we'd be leaving.
Damn.
No, we'd be leaving around then.
Oh, okay.
So no, I wouldn't get to turn it on. It's not one that I'm gonna set my alarm for though.
All right. So I know in the notes you put Cripple Fight again as like the title for the week. Is there any specific matchup you're alluding to when you say that? I mean, we have Washington and Atlanta. Neither of those teams are very good. Obviously, the Vikings and the Bears are not very good. They're playing this week. Were you alluding to any specific matchup or were you just love the phrase Cripple Fight this year?
I don't love that phrase. I feel like it is... PC principal would probably be on me about it, but
he would be all over you, dude.
But I do have a specific couple teams in mind. Some of them, 1-4 teams near and dear to your heart. So that's kind of the main one, mainly because of the struggles that they've had. I did see a very entertaining question on Reddit that popped up in my suggested feed that had asked, Why are the Minnesota Vikings being ranked a tier below teams like Kansas City, San Fran, and Philadelphia? And it was a very serious question. Somebody was asking why they're being ranked as a tier below them. And the entire comment section, I think it was on NFL.com or the NFL subreddit. And everybody's like, well, they need to win. I was just like, oh, so that's where the first cripple comes in. Second one is the Bears stink.
Bears do stink. Yeah. All right. The Chicago Vikings team will be very interesting just to see if the Bears can continue. They've been on a run the past two games. They did lose against Denver, I believe, but they looked really good. Justin Fields came on hot, and they won last week. And the Vikings, what is their identity without Jefferson? Do they try and lean much more heavily on Madison? And And Akers, do they try and continue throwing the ball to T.J. Hockenson, who, as Al put it last week, are his hands just too full of money? He can't catch the thing. We'll see. We'll see what that's all about. I'm excited to see what Gardner Minshew does, so that Indianapolis-Jacksonville game at noon should be a good one. Hopefully it comes up on Red Zone a couple times. Billy B versus Josh McDaniels at 3:05. That should be an interesting one. Josh McDaniels, obviously, famously a longtime OC for Billy B. So does Billy B get his reset done? Does he get trounced by another team? Is this Billy B's last year in New England? The questions are forming. It's easily his worst start to a season ever. Jets, Philadelphia should be a good one. Detroit, Tampa Bay should be a good one. Sunday night should be a stinker with Daniel Jones out. So don't want to watch the Sunday night football game. I'm surprised they didn't flex that out. Or maybe the flex games maybe don't start until like week six or something. I don't know, week seven. But yeah, the New England Giants versus Buffalo Bills Sunday night, that should be a snoozer. And then Dallas. God damn it. Do I keep doing that? New England Giants. The New York Giants and then the Buffalo Bills Sunday night should be a snoozer. And then Monday night should be a good one. Dallas and the Chargers. Josh, are you expecting any dud fantasy performances this week? Are you worried about any of your projections, or do you think you're going to be just fine? As a man who sets his lineup six times.
That is a very interesting question, because I had thought about asking that question like each week, going through and asking, you know, who's somebody that you're starting that just isn't instilling confidence in your lineup. Is there anybody in any of your leagues or anybody that you have in multiple leagues that has to be in your starting lineup? And since you asked first, I'll go first and say Rashad White.
Okay. What is it about Rashad White that you're just not vibing with right now?
Well, that run game isn't that good. And I think that he's going up against a pretty solid defense. I can't remember who they play. Tampa Bay versus... Good. Thank you.
Tampa Bay is playing. God, I just had it. Now I forgot. Sorry.
We're so good.
Yeah. Great podcasting.
But yeah, I don't know. He just hasn't had the production that I'd hoped for. And, you know, in the Champions League, I started off 8-0, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to lose the rest of the way out because Justin Jefferson's a baby.
Playing Detroit.
That's right. Yep. And so Justin Jefferson being a little baby and has an ouchie, not being able to play is going to ruin my Champions League team, I think.
Sure. Had you asked me this question on Tuesday because they played on Thursday, I had actually, like, I had Courtland Sutton in plenty of leagues. I've been a big Courtland Sutton guy, including regular leagues and dynasty leagues. Of course, he ends up putting up a touchdown. He hit double-digit points. But Courtland Sutton's a guy I've benched just because I haven't been counting on him. He's been underwhelming. I'm starting to dig deep in a couple of my leagues. I'm starting Chuba Hubbard. I mean, Miles Sanders is out, but they're playing Miami, so I'm really not confident in Chuba Hubbard this week. But in a dynasty league, I kind of just have to start him again against my will. Looks like I'm playing Edgars, who is doesn't have a single starting quarterback on his team, so I think I'll luck out there, so I don't really have to worry about that matchup. But that's in the BSB league. Otherwise, yeah, I think that's a fun little segment. If you want to work that in next week, I'd be more prepared to talk about it. We can go ahead and get out of here this week, but just a player we're starting, similar to the start sit, but a player we were forced into one of our real lineups this week, and we're just like, God, I don't want to have to start this man, but I kind of have to. I think that'd be a fun little bit if you want to add it to the note sheet. Romeo Dubs would probably be a guy like that if he wasn't on a bye. He has been very hot and cold, so I have no faith with Romeo Dubs until he figures it out. But yeah, Josh, we can go ahead and call that a show unless you have anyone else you're pretty lukewarm on this week.
No, that would be about it, I think. Great show. See you in a bit.
All right. Yeah. Although I saw a Snapchat from you as we're doing the outro here, making up a bunch of waffles. Is this going to be a waffle party, or is that for a different thing?
No, it's just a snack.
Josh, there were like 20 waffles on your counter. That was not just a snack.
I'm a big kid.
Were they protein
waffles?
No,
that was for today. No, they're just regular homemade Belgian waffles. We're having a waffle bar.
Hell yeah, brother. All right, well, I will be there. I'll be sure to be the worst dressed guest so I can embarrass you in front of all your cool church friends. And all the parents know me, so they know what to expect. But Josh, go ahead and get your Go Packers, and we'll get the hell out of here. And I can't wait for Asher. So wait, I sent a gift up. I bought it on Amazon a couple weeks ago. So did you give it to Asher then, or did you hold it for him to open today?
I held it for him to open today, you're going to want to see his reaction because he's going to love it.
Dude, the Amazon registry is a weapon. I'm glad Nikita did that. Anyways, hit your Go Packers. We'll get the hell out of here.
Go Packers.
Bye, everyone. We love you. Windows Media Player is opening really slow, but now we're leaving for sure right now. Sentences.
There is a bird outside, I'm betting, somewhere in the United States.
Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you.